Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Trust everyone's doing well. It's a great day. Amen. I guess it's St. Patrick's Day. I wore my green, or kind of green. I don't know what it is. Interesting part about it is I saw something about a four-leaf clover in St. Patrick's, but I was reading about St. Patrick's, and obviously I don't know much about him, but he brought the gospel to the country of Ireland. But he used a three-leaf clover to show the Trinity. All right? I don't know why the four-leaf clover came in, but whatever. Praise God anyhow. Amen. But I hope everyone's doing good. You know, this week I was talking to a number of people that were, for whatever reason, we're going through a lot of stressful times. You know, I get it. I mean, you know, we live in a world that seems to be stressful. You know, the economy's not the best in the world. You know, all these things are going on. And then we get to the place, us Christians, we give our worries and cares to God, but we're still worried and caring about it. You know, this one person, they were comparing themselves with a lot of other people that they work with. And they're like, you know, I mean, they're all getting this deal and that deal and all these kind of things. And what about me? How come I'm? And they're just worried about all these things. Now, you realize if we give things to God, then we shouldn't be worried about him. You know, they were so concerned about, they said, well, but when are you going to do this for me? Or how come? And then they even used a word that even though they work with a bunch of people that are Christians, they were trying to tell the Lord that they're a better Christian than they are. You know, it doesn't matter. God loves us all. I mean, whether you're the best Christian in the room or the worst one, you know, God still loves us. But the deal is, what happens is we get all worried and stressed out about things, and you realize that stress is not faith. When you're worried and stressed, you're not in faith. You know, and so I also was thinking about the movie Frozen. Now, how does that have to do with it? Well, you know, there's a song called Let It Go. At some point in time, you need to give it to God and let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to sing the song because that would be terrible. Anyway, you're going to have to let it go. Or, you know, we say, let go and let God. All right? You know, if God's taking care of it, what are you worried about? What are you stressed about? And why should we be stressed? Because the greater one lives on the inside of us. Do you realize, you know, when you wake up and maybe you make that confession, this is the day the Lord has made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, why not rejoice? You say, well, yeah, but this is happening, that's happening. Well, that's just, you know, things happen in the world. You know, it's just the devil being the devil. Now, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And this is what we call the Beatitudes, all right? You know, this is where, you know, you can be all you can be. This is where Jesus tells us how we should be and why we should be that way. And I want to read from Matthew 6, verse 25. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." Now, notice that's red letters. That's Jesus. So I just told you, I talked to a few people this week who were stressed out about everyday life. So they're not being a doer of God's word. Because Jesus told us, you know, he says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. So we're being contrary to what Jesus told us. Now, there's a lot of us in the room at some point in time in our life has been contrary to this passage. It goes on to say, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? You know, there's more to it than food and clothes. Although it is nice to have clothes. Please have clothes. You have Walmart, you can buy cheap clothes. All right. It goes on to say this. This is interesting because many of you probably never even thought about this. It says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. So, you know, obviously, you know, they're sowing and reaping, and, you know, and we plant and we harvest. You know, a lot of times we store food up in barns, or even a lot of animals, they store their food up for the wintertime, but the birds don't. Now the birds do fly south for the winter because they're smart. But anyway, but the deal is the Lord leads them to what they need. Every point in time. Now maybe they have to fly to Florida to get it or whatever during the wintertime or wherever they have to do. But the Heavenly Father feeds them. You know, the birds don't seem to be stressed out. They seem to just get along fine. And there are some species of birds that don't fly south for the winter. They seem to make it okay. They seem, to get through it. But it goes on to say, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? See, you should start comparing yourself to birds. I don't mean flapping your arms or whatever. But I mean, if God can take care of the birds, he can take care of you because you're bird brained, okay? Maybe that's our issues. We need to think like birds think. Hey, God cares about you more than the birds. You're more precious than the birds. And if God can take care of them, he can take care of you. There's nothing to worry about. You need to let go of that stress, of that. I get it. The economy's not good. Doesn't matter. Our God is good. See, the deal is we look at outward appearances and don't realize what we have. We don't realize what we've been given. It goes on to say this, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Obviously, worries don't add moments to your life. They take moments away. And the thing about it is, obviously stress can play a big role in things going on. We'll read some stats in a minute. But the thing about it also, the time that you're on the earth, if you're worried all the time, then there's unproductive days. You realize you can't get a whole lot done when you're sitting there worried. And there's some people, I talked to a person that they said they can't even sleep much at nighttime because every time they get quiet, they begin to think and worry about situations. That's just like the devil. Sometimes we're so busy, during the daytime, we don't have time to worry. But it turns nighttime, when we kind of turn everything off, and then all of a sudden the devil tries to bring up, well, what about this situation? What about that situation? See, a lot of times the devil is trying to get us to try to figure out how to do things in our own strength. But it's not about us doing things in our own strength. It's about us letting go and letting God do it because you know what? He has the ability. He can provide all these things for us. And, why should we be stressed out? I really am a lot of times kind of get mad at myself because I think I should be more worried about things than I am. In fact, people get mad at me all the time for not worrying about things that we should worry about. Because my mentality is, why worry? All right? Or the song that goes on, don't worry, be happy. It's kind of our choice. We can worry or we can be happy. And a lot of times you realize that we're worried about things that we can't change, that we have no control over. Now, there are some things we worry about that we have control over, Like if we wouldn't have spent all that money on that new outfit, then maybe we could have paid our rent this month. That might have been an issue. Or, I just bought a new pair of tennis shoes the other night. That's going to cost me $250. And so, I could have used $250 someplace else, but I like shoes. So, my God can provide $250 for me to get a pair of shoes. Even in a bad economy. See, the deal is, you realize how negative we talk? I read Facebook. Even Christians talk negative. Like, man, all this and that. A lot of times, we're actually better about giving anti-testimonies than we are giving testimonies on social media. In fact, a lot of us, we talk more about how bad it is than we share about how good God is. It is interesting. I've read a number of posts. There's a lot of different. Ray McGrath would like to post a lot. One of them is Chad Gonzalez. Many of you know Chad. He played in a basketball team here. He's a minister. But you know what? He ends his posts. Different things he talks about. And he goes, God loves Chad. And I started thinking about, you know what? God loves us all. You know, maybe we should say that more. You know, we should, you know, so maybe it will click that God loves me more than a bird. God loves me more than a bird. And if he can take care of a bird, he can take care of me. But the deal is the bird doesn't stress out. It seems the more we stress out, the worse it gets. Because you know what? The more you stress out, the least you are in faith. Faith. We're not in faith when we're stressed out. It goes on to say, verse number 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Now, Solomon obviously was a very wealthy man. Some people say Solomon still was the most wealthiest person that ever lived. So he can afford all the clothes that you so desire. You know, it is interesting because the people who have lots of money, a lot of times they wear these weird clothes. So, I don't know. I mean, then there's like conservative, you know, people, but these flashy, you know, some of these, you know, movie stars and different, you know, pop stars or whatever make a ton of money. They wear the craziest stuff. It's just like, you know, one day, one of my friends was assistant coach for a while with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Adrian Griffin, had opportunity many times actually to be there on the court after the game to talk to Adrian. You know, a lot of players were walked by me. And, you know, Russell Wilson, some of you know Russell. He maybe not know him personally, but know who he is. He designed his own clothing. All right. Interesting clothing. He walked out one day in a sweats and had all kinds of ripped up holes and things like that. And I've been told not to really talk to Russell a lot. You know, don't bother Russell. Don't ask him for autographs. So I always didn't really bother him. But he walked out and he had the weirdest outfit on. So, you know, at that time I was fairly large. I'm still pretty good size. I was like 350 pounds back then. So he walks out and I'm looking at him. I'm looking at his outfit. I'm like, hey, Russell, do you have that in my size? He just laughed, right? I didn't feel I was really bothering him. I was just making him laugh. You know, so one day we walked out. He was in a bad mood because they lost. And I said, at least you had a good game. So anyway, but you know, why worry about your clothing? Why worry about anything? I mean, Solomon wasn't dressed as good as a lily. But if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. And then he says this, Jesus says, why do you have so little faith? Now, why can't we believe that God will take care of us? Now, faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary or yourdictionary.com, is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. So if your faith is in God, it's not questioned. You're not questioning why it hasn't happened yet. You're not questioning when it's going to happen. You know that God, your God is providing for you. If your God's providing for you, there is no need to worry. You need to let your worry go and move on. Be more productive, you know, because if God can take care of the lilies, God can take care of the flowers and the trees and the birds and all these things, he surely can take care of you. But the deal is that you're so worried about it. So why do you have so little faith? It goes on to say, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. All right? But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Do you realize that God knew all your needs before you did? You realize that God is providing for you before you have the need? You know, God knew the needs of the birds. He knows the needs of the lilies. He knows the needs of all the animal kingdom. And he provides for them. But it goes on to say this, and this is a verse that we read, so we skip over all the other verses and we read this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be so worried about all your physical needs. Go out and win the lost. That's the kingdom of God. Go out and be a testimony. Go out and do something to. And you know what? When you're out sharing the gospel, you're probably not worried about your needs. God will take care of you. Now, many of you probably have read many books by my grandfather, and he talked about that he had a budget, and God met his budget everywhere he went. Didn't matter if it was a big church, didn't matter if it was a small church. He talked about that he would never tell the pastor how much he needed. And said sometimes things would happen, you know, we all have things happen, and he would need more. And he was at one place, and finally the pastor got it out of him. He told him he goes, oh my goodness, Brother Hagin, I wish you wouldn't have told me. He said, there's no way you're going to get that at our church. Now also, my grandfather also would tell the pastor, he goes, don't preach a long offering sermon. You know, some people, when you go hear them minister, their offering sermon is as long as their normal sermon. And sometimes the offering sermon seems like an infomercial. You know, well, if you do this, God's going to bless you. If you do that, you know, blah, blah, you know. I mean, they're all about that. But my grandfather would tell the pastor, just get up and say, we're taking up an offering, and this is for Brother Hagin. That's all you say. He's like, you're not going to get anything. He goes, if I don't get anything, I'm not going to bribe. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to move on down the road. But you know what? God always provided. Why did God provide? Because he said he would. Now, my grandfather said he was never worried that God was going to provide because they had a deal. And you got a deal. God's going to provide. Don't get all stressed out. Don't get worried. And don't talk about how bad the economy is. It doesn't matter what the economy does. Ultimately, it doesn't matter who's your president. Doesn't matter, you know, who's your senator. Those things really don't matter, you know, as far as God blessing you. Now, it might matter for some other things, but as far as God, God's going to take care of me no matter what. God took care of the children of Israel even when they were in captivity. And he's going to take care of you no matter what. So you know what? It's going to be okay. Goes on to say, verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, a lot of times people are worried about the future whenever, you know, and they should be more concerned about what's going on right now. But that no matter what, God's got it. I know Ramsey Singer's band used to sing a song called God's Got It. God's got your miracle. You know, you realize the same God that you serve is the same God that split the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked on dry land. Well, that's impossible. You know what? If you read the Bible, there was many impossible things that happened when people face an impossible situation and they didn't know what to do and they gave it to God. See, sometimes we almost got to get to a point where we can't even do anything. You know, I've seen people get to a point where the doctors say, we can't help you anymore, and that's when they really start believing. Because as long as the doctor could give them some medicine or whatever, their faith was in the doctor more than it was in God. You know what? But we should just sell it and say, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to be like the movie Frozen. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let you take care of it. You know, a number of years ago, actually, I was preaching in prayer school, and God gave me this thing called TRG, Total Reliance on God. I mean, you know, if God can't do it, I don't know who can. And God's not a man that he's going to lie to you. He's taking care of your need. But you have to let him take care of your need. You know, God didn't say, here, give me your need, and then you help me do it for you. He didn't say that. He said to rely on me. Now, you know, we talked about stress. Stress can kill you. There's a lot of people in stress. And according to the researchers at the Mayo Clinic, chronic stress puts us at an increased risk of numerous health problems, including anxiety disorders, depression, digestive problems, headaches, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, sleep problems, weight gain, and the impairment of memory and concentration. If you're suffering from these symptoms because of stress, then you're not living the abundant life that the Lord Jesus came to give us when he says in John 10:10 that I came to give you life and came to give it to you more abundantly. That's a stress-free life, not a stressful life. Jesus didn't come to give you a stressful life. That's the devil's job. You know, and if you're experiencing some of these symptoms that I just read, maybe you need to let go of some things that are bothering you. Well, yeah, but Craig, what am I going to do if I'm not worried? You know, you realize how much time on your hand you would have if you don't worry about what's going on? You know, and if you're not worried about anything else and you're worried about your kids, you're worried about what might happen to your kids. You know, you got to trust God. I mean, your kids are going to be okay. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the ways he go, and when he is old, not depart. You know, just do your best about, you know, giving him the word or giving her the word. Now, there are a number of verses where it talks about having rest. Psalms 46:10, and we've seen this sometimes, it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes we just need to be still and say, God, you take care of it. I'm going to stop. Some of you like squirming around. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. How am I going to fix this situation? It's all about I. It's not about you. It's about him. You know, if you want to complain, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you just do it. I mean, you know, I don't know how God moves a mountain. I don't know how God does all these kind of things. You know what? I don't know how Jesus was born of a virgin either. A lot of questions, but I don't know how he split the Red Sea. I don't know how Jesus changed the water into wine. You know, I don't know how David with one stone could defeat Goliath. I don't know how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in a fiery furnace and were not burned. All I know is that God was with them each and every time, and God is with you each and every time. The greater one lives on the inside of me. So I don't know how to solve your problem, but I know who to solve your problem. And I know if you cast your cares on him, he will solve your problem. So God is saying, just be still and know, I got it. I'm in control. You need to get out of control and let me be in control. God is not your co-pilot. God should be your pilot, and you should sit in the back seat. He doesn't even need you helping him steer the plane or the aircraft or anything else. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you stress. I think that's how many of us interpret it. We're going to come to Jesus and he's going to give us more stress. You know, and I think that's how a lot of Christians are, because they're, you know, a lot of Christians actually rub in, well, you're just not doing something right. Instead of saying, hey, you should just let go and let God, they're telling you, maybe you don't have enough faith, or maybe you don't do this, or maybe you don't do that, or maybe you're just an idiot. Well, maybe you should just let go and let God and rest. I mean, quit being so stressed out. Now, Dad has a book out there, How to Live Worry-Free. Most of you won't do it, but we can. It goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So once again, he says the word rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? it's all going to be okay. You know, every time I face a situation where I don't know what to do, I always hear these words, it's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay? Because you know what? My God's still on the throne. And because Jesus Christ took care of all my issues 2,000 years ago. You know, a lot of times we're trying to solve issues that have been taken care of a long time ago. Now, we all know 1 Peter 5:7. We've probably read it many, many times. Not that we do it. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if he is caring for us, then we shouldn't be caring about anything. Because you know what? You know, he cares. I know we have a we care, but you know, he also cares. He cares for us, and if he's caring for us, he doesn't need your help. He's got it. The Amplified Classic Translation says this, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So that verse basically says, just give me your all. Empty out everything you have, let it all go, and give it to me. Now, most of us were like, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you, but what are you going to do with it? And when are you going to be providing my answer? And once you give me those, you tell me those things, I will give you my cares. But until you let me know all these things, I don't know if I can. See, that's our own mentality. Our mentality is that, you know, that's just too stressful to not be in control. That's wrong. Some of you are control freaks. That's your issue. You want to be in control. And, you know, half of living the Christian life is living out of control. That, I mean, he's taking care of the situation. Well, Craig, how's he doing it? I don't know. I'm not an expert on how God performs miracles. I'm not an expert on how God provides all my needs. I just have the Bible verse. I also was taught a long time ago, and so were you, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Or in modern day language, drop the mic. It doesn't matter. There is nothing more to say. Well, the Bible says that we can cast our cares on him, all our cares, and he's going to take care of them. How is he going to do it? I don't know. It's not for me to worry about. My job is not to worry about how he's going to do it. My job is to let it go and let him do it. That's my job. Yeah, but Craig, you know, you don't realize all the things I'm going through. No, you don't realize how big your God is. Yeah, but those, you know, some of those Bible stories, those are Old Testament stuff. Well, we serve this. I mean, our God never changes. I am the Lord your God, and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible even says, Jesus told us, the things that I did, which he did a lot of miraculous things. And greater things shall you do, because I'm at the right hand of the Father. You know, the Bible talks about that he's seated in heaven, and heavenly, seated by the throne room of God in heavenly places, and all things are under his feet. And then the Bible says we're seated together with him in Christ, meaning all things are under our feet. Meaning the devil has no right. The devil has no authority. He was whipped 2,000 years ago. All the devil can do is talk smack, because he's already been defeated. Now, 1 Peter 5:8 goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, the Bible says the devil is going to try to devour your situation. He's going to try to talk smack. He's going to try to, you know, get it over to you. But he said he's seeking who he may devour. He's seeking the weak-minded people that don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. No, you say, well, you know, but sometimes we know who we are in Christ Jesus in the morning time, but by the afternoon we forget. You know, morning devotions, you know, we read all the good scriptures, but by the afternoon we kind of forgot because we had situations that come and hit us in the face. And that's when we have to once again, you know, renew our mind. Now, when, you know, sometimes too, we read about the armor of God, and actually I have a thing on the armor of God in the Word of Faith magazine. I've had a lot of people say good things about it, but you know, the armor of God, we're thinking, okay, we got to fight, we got to fight. But the armor of God talks about one thing, it talks about the helmet of salvation. You know what that means? Who we are in Christ. Because we were saved, we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. You know, Jesus took care of all these situations. They're the benefits of our salvation. But the armor of God also says we have the sword of the Spirit. You know, we have the word that we confess. You know, we have the shield of faith. You know, we can believe. But, you know, the Bible also says, having done all to stand, that we just stand. Or maybe be still, know I am God. You know, it doesn't say for us to continue to fight. It just says for us to confess the word, us to know the word. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers from on high. You know, it's not about a fight. It's about resting in the Lord and knowing that God's got this. Casting our cares upon him, knowing that he is bringing it to happen. You know, so quit trying to make things happen and rest and let God do it. I was reading this, interesting, this one person says that we should be more like a tortoise than a lion. Now, I know the Bible talks a lot about, you know, a lion or whatever, but if you read about a lion, it says God designed you to live like a tortoise and not the lion. In the wild, lions are predators. They are aggressive and highly territorial. Living like a lion means you're always hunting for survival against competitors, fighting to defend your territory at work, and perhaps roaring at your children or subordinates. Is that the rhythm you want to constantly live? Just know that lions are known to have short lifespans. See, a lot of us, we're trying to make everything happen. We're trying to get ahead in our own mind. But lions have short lifespans, especially in the wild. Researchers have found that the adrenal glands of lions in the wild are swollen and tend to be about 25% heavier than lions in captivity with similar body weights. You can imagine the adrenaline overdrive that the lions in the wild are subject to. So, you know, when you produce adrenaline, it wears on your body. And, you know, people, lions are always fighting. They're fighting for survival. The lions in captivity don't have to worry about survival because humans are taking care of them. But tortoise, on the other hand, it says, in contrast, look at a tortoise. They do everything slowly, moving one stubby leg at a time, taking their time to chew leisurely and refusing to be hurried. They were probably the last animals to arrive in Noah's Ark. And perhaps Noah even had to pick them up and carry them into the ark because they plodded so slowly that it already started drizzling. But at the end of the day, tortoises live long. Giant tortoises, for example, have an average lifespan of over 100 years. You know, why they live a long time? Because they're not stressed about anything. They're slow to anger. They're slow to everything. You know, I'm not saying you should always be slow. All right. But the point is, we should have that attitude. You know what? It's going to be okay. You know, there's no reason to get upset, fight about it. There's no reason to pop our adrenal glands out and get all stressed out because stress will kill you. Stress will, you know, I know my grandfather would talk about that, back in the day, that stress and worry will put you into a mental institution. There's so many people that the reason that they're in a mental institution is because they were stressed out. A lot of times they have a nervous breakdown. You know, it's really hard to have a nervous breakdown when you know the greater one lives on the inside of you. You know, but here's something else. A lot of times whenever we pray, or when we talk to the Lord, we pray from a place of defeat. But we should be praying for a place of victory. You know, it's not that we're going to win, it's we've already won. We've already won the battle. Jesus won it for us. We didn't have to really do anything. We won before we fought. Now, John 4:4, New Living, says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." So the Bible says we have already won a battle. And a lot of times whenever we're praying about a situation, we're praying that we're going to win, but we have already won. And you know what? Your mentality shifts when you pray like, you know, we've already won. All we have to do is by faith receive it. So like, you know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died for your salvation, but you were not saved until you actually received him. How did you receive him? You confessed with your mouth and you believed in your heart and you were saved. Well, how do you get anything from God? You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. That's your faith working. It's simply that, you know, but whenever you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you knew you were saved. But when it comes to your healing or it comes to your financial blessing, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and then you wonder if it works. Well, it obviously works. You got saved. Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm healed. Well, did you feel like you were saved? Well, yeah, I had this warm, fuzzy feeling. That's the problem. We lean more toward feelings than we do what Jesus says. Now, it doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is, what do you know? What does God's word say? God's word doesn't say you're going to have a warm, fuzzy feeling every time you pray. Yeah, but Craig, I like to have the warm, fuzzy feeling. All right, then get some warm, fuzzy honey and pour it all over you while you pray. I mean, what? I don't know. If you want a fuzzy feeling, then you find fuzzy stuff and you can put it on you when you pray, and then you'll have fuzzy feelings. But it's not about your fuzzy feelings. Fuzzy feelings don't heal you. Fuzzy feelings don't de-stress you. Fuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy had no hair anyway. He wasn't very fuzzy, was he? Anyway, my brain thinks about stupid things when I'm preaching. It's not about a fuzzy feeling. It's about a victorious feeling. You should know you're victorious. And so, I don't know, I was praying about how do I have an example about playing from a place of victory, knowing you already won. So, I don't know, it just hit me. Let's say you're in the fourth quarter of a football game and you're winning 46-0. Now, 46 points is kind of weird for a football score, but I was going to go with it because that was what popped in my head the first thing. 46-0, late in the fourth quarter, with 5 minutes left, and the other team scores a touchdown. And the extra point is good. All right, so that makes 46-7. 5 minutes left in the game. Now, are you going to start stressing out, oh my goodness, we're going to lose this game. Oh, I don't know how we're going to win this game. They scored a touchdown. There's only 5 seconds left to game. You really already won. All that happened was your third string defense didn't play hard enough. And they got a touchdown on you. But see, that's what happens in our Christian life. Sometimes the devil gets a touchdown on you. Sometimes things that happen, the devil scores a touchdown. And instead of saying, you know what? Okay, devil, you scored a touchdown, but I've won the victory. That's right. Instead of that, you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? I might lose. It's probably physically impossible for the other team, you know, to score 40 more points in 5 minutes. All right. I think it probably is physically impossible. I don't think there's enough time on the clock to be able to do that. So why would you freak out if you're winning 46-7? So why are you freaking out when the devil gets a touchdown on you every once in a while? I mean, you know, you had a mental blip. You know, you didn't take him seriously. Or whatever. That's why, you know, a team that's shutting somebody out, I mean, a lot of times whenever you're shutting somebody, you want to get that shutout. But sometimes mentally, you kind of checked out. You've already won the game. Well, here's the deal. You've already won the battle. You've already won the game. Don't get stressed out. Don't start worrying because the devil gets a touchdown. You know, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. But the point is, in the game of life, you don't see the scoreboard. You don't see you've already won. That's why you have to focus in on Jesus, because he's the winner. He's the champion. That's when we have to renew our mind, because, you know, once you think on him, it's hard to be stressed out about whatever the devil's trying to do or whatever situation's trying to come to you. But it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Just let it go and let God work in your life. Last scripture I want to read is Philippians 4:19. We all know this scripture. And it says, "But and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I think it should be translated, "Your God has already supplied all your need." Now, the reason you haven't got it yet is it's because your faith, believing. Now, some people read this scripture that my God shall supply all my need if I'm good enough. The Bible didn't say if you're good enough. The Bible didn't say if you're without sin. You know, the Bible says that we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all, you know, sinned at some point in time. You know, the fish that you caught was this big. You said it was that big. That's a lie. You know, the thing about it is our own mind or even some theology says, well, you know, if we tell a lie or if we do this or if we do that, then God's not going to meet my need because he doesn't love me anymore. Your God, if you're a father or a mother, if you're a parent in this room, you love your children no matter what they do. In fact, some parents don't even believe their children will do anything bad because they have unreal expectations about their children. I have real expectations about my children. I know that my children are not always the best children in the room. I will tell you, my middle son, Blake, led to many stressful times in my life, more than the other two kids. I think he thought it was his job to cause his dad to be mad and angry because he would start laughing about it. I don't know. He'd get me mad. And, you know, I guess he wants my adrenal glands to pop out because that's what he would do a lot. But, you know, my God is supplying all my needs. You know, and some people think, okay, well, we serve an umpire God. What do you mean? Well, three strikes and you're out. No, we don't serve an umpire God. Or we serve a hockey ref God. You know, hockey ref puts you in a penalty box, put you in timeout. So if you're in timeout right now, we can't meet your need while you're in timeout. You know, you got to sit there. After you suffer for long enough, then God will meet your need. You got a 5-minute penalty. Or maybe you're God's a football ref. That's a 15-yard penalty. God's backing you up. You're going to go in the hole for a little bit, but you'll make it up sooner or later. No, our God is supplying all our needs. He's not punishing us, because some people think the reason our needs are not getting supplied is because God is punishing us for doing something stupid. I'm here to tell you, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. You know, many of you think that I'm very much perfect, but I'm not, all right? I'm not perfect, probably not close. In public, maybe. I look like I'm perfect, you know, but I'm not perfect. You know, but one thing I haven't done or don't do that much is worry about things, because you know what? Why worry when I have God? The Bible clearly says that my God is supplying all my needs according to His glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, supplied my needs. All I got to do is just let go and let Him. So the next time you have an opportunity to be stressed out because you got a bad report from a doctor, because you opened a bill, or because your kids did something stupid, or whatever happens, I want you to remember the movie Frozen and start singing the Let It Go song. But I want you to understand that you're letting go of your stress and you're giving it to God. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. If God can provide for the birds, He can provide for you. Don't worry. Don't stress. Let God take care of your cares. Give them all to Him and just rest. Be still and know I am God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and we praise You. We magnify You. But we thank You, Father, right now that each and every time that we face an opportunity to stress and worry, that You will bring this message back to our minds, that You will let us know on the inside, hey, don't worry about that. It's all going to be okay. Don't stress about it. I got this. I got this. Father God, we just thank You and we praise You for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. And we thank You, Father, that after this message, that a switch is turned in their mind. That from this day forward, that they're going to pray and they're going to believe God from a place of victory and not a place of defeat. They are not going to win. They have already won in the name of Jesus. They already have been given the victory. And we thank You for it now. But this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe someone's here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never been saved. I don't know Him and I want to this morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here today and say, Craig, I've never been saved, but I want to be saved this morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I've gone to church for a long time, but my grandfather talked about a no-so experience. Do you know if you die today, you're going to go to heaven? If you don't know, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you know today. Or maybe you're here today and you said, Craig, man, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. I know most people here are saved, but we want to always give an opportunity. Father God, we don't see any hands, but we thank You that if anyone is here that needs salvation, we thank You, Father, for bringing laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank You, Father, for the saving knowledge of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, first of all, we're glad to have you today. The connection team is in the aisle. They'll want to take you back to the north lobby, give you a gift really fast, and thank you for coming to Rhema Bible Church. You know the way we dismiss around here? The pastoral staff are headed to the doors at this time. I'm going to be at the west door. Pastor Bill's going to be at the east door. Pastor Zach's going to be at the north door. Pastor Rob's going to be at the south door. God bless you guys. 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, let it go. Quit worrying. Quit stressing. Let go and let God. God bless you. Have a great day.